Good morning. Okay, last week we started the book of Ruth, so I'm just going to summarize if maybe some of you weren't here. We began to see that Ruth had a cry in her heart to know more of God. She was a young woman who wasn't even an Israelite, but her heart was moved to be a part of the family of God. And, you know, even though she didn't know God, there was something in her heart that had a strong desire to know God. And the gods of Moab weren't satisfying her. And she had, she just had a cry in her heart. You know, I really believe that cry that was in her heart was what brought Elimelech and Naomi and their family to the town where she lived. They could have gone anywhere in Moab, you know, but they came to the exact spot. God works things in miraculous ways, and he is faithful to us when we have a heart's cry for him. And we saw how Naomi and Elimelech came to Moab looking for a new life because their life in Israel had been destroyed, taken away. You know, there was such devastation there. They had no food. They had no animals. They had nothing that they could sustain their children with. And so they decided to move to Moab, even though it was an enemy country. You know, apparently by this time, the relationships weren't like enemies because they lived there peaceably, it seems, according to the book of Ruth. And, you know, they thought, oh, this is going to bring us into new things in God. Well, then it turned the other way and Elimelech died. And then she got two new daughters-in-law. And probably, you know, life was beginning to look good again. Oh, well, now I have daughters, and now we can have grandchildren. And, oh, she was excited, you know, I'm sure. Every mother is excited when they think the grandchildren are coming, you know. Well, that was disappointed too. And, you know, we looked at how Paul said, you know, we have to go through these tribulations in order for the fruit to come forth. And, you know, it was a difficult time. And the fruit didn't come the way that Naomi thought it probably would. You know, it came through an unlikely source, a daughter-in-law. And, you know, last week we sang the song, More of You. That was Ruth's heart cry. More of You, O Lord, more of You. And this week we sang, Lord, there's none like You anywhere. You know, as she came into Naomi's family, she became a Christian. And she realized how wonderful God is. You know, Lord, there's none like You anywhere. So her life is moving on in God, even though, you know, she's just a newborn Christian now. And I'm sure that Naomi taught her about the Christian way, you know, brought her into the path of salvation. And then her sons died, and I'm sure that still she nurtured those two girls. She wanted them to grow up in the things of God, even though she had nothing to offer them. And when Naomi found out that it was in Israel, there was new life and there was food there. And she knew that it was time for her to go back home after 10 years to go back home. And at first, we talked about this last week, at first, both of the daughters-in-law decided, I am going to go with you to Israel. And Naomi kind of discouraged them. And we talked about how that Elijah discouraged Elisha from following after him. You know, God wants us to really know it's in our heart, not in those that we're following. He wants us to know that it's a relationship with Him that we have, not with the other people that are around us that are leading the way. And Orpah decided to, you know, go back home to her family. And it was interesting that we talked about how that Brother Bailey in his book said that, you know, Orpah chose not to go to Israel. But she was on a plane where, I can't repeat it as, let me read it, okay? Orpah turned back to her own people for her future. We have no scriptural or historical account available to us concerning her later life, but we have reason to believe from experience that the Lord blessed her mightily upon the plain that she chose to remain, even as He did Esau. She no doubt would have felt justified in her decision, for her vision was fulfilled to her satisfaction. You know, so Brother Bailey says there was hope for Ruth. You know, even though she stayed back in Moab and her life wasn't what it could have been, but, you know, when we decide this is where I want to stay, we can still be a Christian. We can still move on in God, but not to the extent if we would totally give our lives. And Ruth clung to Naomi. Even when Naomi, you know, discouraged her, said, no, Orpah has gone back. You go back also. And Ruth said, no, I am going on with you. And so we're going to start with Ruth chapter 1, verse 15. And she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And, you know, this must have been a difficult decision for Ruth, because, you know, when you're brought up in a country where they serve other gods, it's so ingrained into you that it's a difficult thing to break away from it. And, I've lived in other countries where people have been taught in their religious ways, and when they decide to become a Christian, it's very difficult for them. And even though they're going on and they're moving in the Christian walk, there are times when their mind switches back to, you know, the old way is so ingrained in them that it's difficult. And, you know, it's even simple things like telling the truth, you know. When I lived in India, you know, the Indians have a hard time telling the truth. And even when they become a Christian, they still think it's okay if it's just a little, you know, a little lie. But that's not God's way. And, you know, we have to break away from that. And I can remember when I was a child, I would lie to get out of trouble. You know, that's just who I was. And when I became a Christian, God really convicted me of that. And He said, you can't do that anymore. You know, and hopefully I've changed somewhat, you know. It's just really a difficult thing because you're so used to it. It's like a habit. Habits are hard to break. And, you know, following those other gods, that's hard to break because it's a habit that you have. It was your way of life. And when, you know, Ruth was coming out into a new way of life, it had to be difficult for her. But she stayed strong. She decided, I am going on with God. And so in verse 15 of chapter 1, 16, Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee or to follow or to return from following after thee. She was begging her mother-in-law, please don't keep saying, go back, go back, go back. I am going to follow on. And she made five promises to Naomi and to God. And it says, for whither thou goest, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And, you know, we're gonna look at these five promises that she made. And they're promises that we have to make to God. We have to say to God, I will go where you go. She was willing to go anywhere that God sent her. And, you know, we must be totally consecrated to God. And we must say, God, I will follow you wherever you want me to go. And, you know, even though there's unknown things that we face, we've got to be willing to just follow after God. When I was in Africa, my time there had finished. And I had no idea where to go, what to do. It was such a shock that, I mean, it was a sudden turnover. And suddenly, I had to leave the country. And I just didn't know where to go. And at that time, we had no telephone working. The telephone lines were out for 2 days. And I couldn't call my family and tell them what was going on. I couldn't call Pastor Bailey. I couldn't call, you know, my pastor. I couldn't call anybody to say, you know, what do you think? What do I do? You know, and so those 2 days, all I had was God. I couldn't talk to the people there because they were in a different, you know. And it was just a time where I had to spend with God. I had to dedicate myself to God and say, God, I will go where you want me to go. I will do what you want me to do, but I don't know what that is. And so I just felt that I should pray about certain things. You know, just whatever came to mind, is this your way, Lord? So I would pray that for this country or, you know, and I didn't feel peace. I'd pray for another country, didn't feel peace. And then I began to pray about a country that I did not want to go to, India. My friend was there. She had invited me to come. I said, no, I don't want to go to India. I'm not going. Forget it. And as I began to pray about India, a peace just came over me, and I knew that's where I had to go. And I said, Lord, I'm just putting this up on the shelf because I'm not going to make it happen. Please, you make it happen. So I put it up on the shelf. I told nobody about it. 2 days later, the phones began to work. I called Brother Bailey and told him everything that happened. And he said, well, you've been praying about India, haven't you? And I told him, you know, how I had prayed and, you know, said, I'm putting it on the shelf, and if you want me to go there, you have to work it out. And God worked it out. 4 months later, there I was in India. And, you know, it was a decision I had to make. I had to decide, I'll go wherever you want me to go. Even though I don't want to go to India, now I'm willing. I wasn't willing before. So that's what happened in my life, and I'm sure that's what, you know, I'm sure Ruth had trepidation going to a foreign country. Okay, and secondly, she said, where you live, I will live. You know, she was willing to give up her comfortable life in Moab to go to a place that she had no idea what was going to happen. You know, she had no idea what it was going to be like there. And she was willing. And, you know, the mission field's not always comfortable, you know. Now, when I was in, where I was comfortable in the things that I had, you know. I had a nice room and a, you know, a bathroom, a regular bathroom, you know. I didn't have to go out in the woods, you know. And, but Ruth had no guarantee that that was what was going to be for her. And she was willing to go on. You know, the food's different when you go to another country. You have to learn to adapt. And the customs are different. You have to be careful not to break through their customs, you know. And it really takes a step of faith to move on and say, I will live wherever. Because it might be in a hut somewhere. You don't know. And thirdly, she said, your people will be my people. She was willing to give up her family, her friends, and go the way that Naomi went. And we have to desire to be with the people of God. You know, when we say, your people will be my people, when we make a decision to be a Christian, we have to spend time with the Christian people, not with the worldly people. You know, if we want to really move on in things. And, you know, Ruth had to be willing to adjust her life to live the life of the Israelites, even though it would be difficult. She knew the relationship between the two countries were not great, that they wouldn't treat her as an Israelite. They would treat her as a Moabite. And they didn't like the Moabites very much, but she was willing. And fourthly, she said, thy God will be my God. No matter what, I'm going to serve God, the living God. And I'm going to give up the old gods that I followed for all the other years of my life, and I'm going to go God's way. And, you know, when we do that, God's thoughts and his ways are higher than our thoughts and our ways. And we have to, you know, start looking up towards heaven to have our thoughts changed. And then fifthly, she said, where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. She was willing to say, I'm going to go to this new country, and that's where I'm going to stay. I'm going to be there until I die. I'm not going to go back to my old life. And, you know, we see that God blessed Ruth and Orpah according to what really mattered to them. Orpah felt like she had no other option but to go back. But Ruth, she went on to the higher things of God because she trusted in God and wanted more in God than what she had in Moab. And, you know, Ruth was living with eternity in mind. She was thinking of, you know, of moving on and having a place ready for her in heaven. And she wanted to be closer to God in eternity. And she wasn't willing to settle for less. She was moving on. And, you know, that's the way we have to be. Okay, verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. That didn't mean that she quit talking to her. It means that she quit discouraging her from going with her and she quit saying, you know, why don't you go back to your mother? Because I have nothing for you. She had already explained it. I have nothing for you. And but now she knew that Ruth was willing and that she was consecrated and she was going to move on. And Naomi was just like Elijah. When the last town that Elijah and Elisha came to, he didn't discourage him anymore because he knew this was the place where he was going to go. And Elisha just stood by Elijah through the whole thing, even though he was discouraging him from following. But he said, no, I'm going to stay with you. And that's the way Ruth was. She was going to stay with Naomi no matter what, because she wanted something more. She wanted to follow God with her whole heart. And in verse 19, so they two went together until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they came to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? So first of all, I want to talk about their trip. We don't really know exactly how they got there, but, you know, my idea is that they didn't have a donkey or a horse or anything to ride, so they probably walked the whole way. And I looked on a map, and I saw Moab is, you know, on the other side of the Dead Sea from Israel, and depending on where they had to go, you know, where their town was, I don't know, but let's say it was right down at the bottom of the Dead Sea. The Dead Sea is about 40 miles long, and they went up to Bethlehem, which is pretty much towards the top of the Dead Sea, and so they had to walk probably 40 miles. Walk to Corning? No, thank you. You know, but that would be how long it would be. And, you know, it would take a long time. And they were just two women. They probably had to carry what clothes they had, what food they had with them. And it was a long, arduous journey. And during the travel time, I think Naomi spent that time teaching Ruth about what she was going to face. You know, Jesus taught his disciples while he was walking on the way from one town to another, and I'm sure that Naomi taught Ruth the things that she would need to know when she got to Israel. You know, how they lived there and what was expected of people, you know, and she probably taught her about the laws of God, how that, you know, the people on the Sabbath, they only do certain things. And, you know, I'm sure that Naomi tried to make it as easy as she could for Ruth. When we go to another country, we have to realize that their cultures are different. And we've got to begin realizing that we can't do everything we do here in America. You know, it just can't be done. We have to learn about what their cultures are so that we don't offend the people that we want to minister to. And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10:22, he said, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. He said, I can do anything. But, you know, when he was with people that, you know, didn't eat meat, he didn't eat meat. You know, and, you know, like in India, the Muslims that are in India, they don't eat beef. And if you want to minister to them, you can't be eating beef in front of them or carry it from in their little car from the market to your house. You just can't do that if you want to be able to minister to them. And so there's certain things you have to give up for a time if you want to minister to those people. And, you know, another thing that was really hard for me, when you would go to these little shops, you know, there would be flies buzzing everywhere. And it was just my nature to, you know, want to swat them and get them out of here, you know. But the Hindus believe that might be their grandfather or, you know, something. And so you can't go around swatting the flies in the shops of the people that you are, you know, having contact with, because if you do, they're going to be offended. they're going to be offended with what you're doing, and you'll never have a chance to minister to them. Never. Because you've offended. And, you know, we just have to learn those little things. That seems like a little thing, you know, don't swat a fly. But you just can't do it if you want to be able to speak with them and be friends with them. And, you know, I'm sure there were things that they did in Moab that they didn't do in Israel. And I'm sure that Naomi made sure that Ruth knew those things because she was a kind and loving mother-in-law and wanted her daughter to be able to live comfortably in her country. Okay, so when they got to Bethlehem, it seems like Naomi was really well known in that town before she left. You know, she knew a lot of the people. Everybody was excited. What does it say? They were moved, and they said, "Is this Naomi? I can't believe it. Naomi's back. Wow!" You know, after 10 years, they remembered her, and so she must have been an influential woman in Bethlehem before she left, because now they were moved about it. She, you know, they just couldn't believe it, and. Now in verse 20, we're going to look at Naomi's reaction to this. And she said to them, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then call me Naomi, seeing that the Lord has testified against me, and the Almighty has afflicted me?" You know, Naomi didn't want to be called pleasant anymore. She said, "Call me bitter, because it's bitter experiences that I have experienced." And we have to be careful not to let the experiences that come against us make us bitter. And we have to go above that and don't let that ruin our life. Joseph, he could have been bitter at his brothers and everybody else that, you know, the Potiphar that threw him into jail, you know, and he could have been bitter against all those people, and his life could have been one that was a bitter, you know, "You're being mean to me," you know. But Joseph called on God, and he forgave and forgot. And he wasn't bitter. And when he met his brothers again, he could say, "What you did to me, you know, you meant for evil, but God meant it for good. God has kept me and saved me through this." And, you know, that's the way it was for Naomi too. You know, later on, we'll see that, you know, Naomi was really blessed by this. You know, even though she'd had bitter experiences, she came out on the better side, not the bitter side. So Naomi returned, and Ruth and the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her. They returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of the barley harvest. So it was the beginning of the barley harvest, and that was the time of, like, in the new year for the Israelites. And it seems like Naomi had a house and land that was still hers from, you know, the 10 years ago. But she didn't have food. She didn't have money. You know, so she and Ruth were kind of destitute, even though they were back where the land was full of harvest, but they had nothing. And I'm sure that on the trip, Naomi told Ruth how that God makes provision for the poor. In his word, he made provision for the poor. And let's start looking at chapter 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughters. And she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging to Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. So we see that Ruth decided, I am going to go, and I'm going to take advantage of this provision that God provided for the poor. We are poor, we have no food, and so she asked permission from her mother-in-law if she could go and she could glean. And, you know, this wasn't an easy task. It was kind of like Rachel giving the camels water to drink, you know. It was an arduous task. It was not just a little 5-minute thing, you know. It was working in the field day after day, hour after hour, bending down, picking up, you know. And it was not easy. And she asked her mother-in-law for permission, you know. She didn't just take off and go, but and she asked her mother-in-law permission. She gave it to her, and God directed her to the field of Boaz, who just happened to be a relative of Elimelech. And, you know, it's not a coincidence. God had a plan. And sometimes we think, oh, that just happened. But God directed it, and it was in God's plan. So she went to the overseer, chapter 2, verse 4. And behold, Boaz came to Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. So in this portion, we can see that Boaz was a good man. You know, he came and he blessed his workers. You know, he greeted them, and, you know, he wasn't just somebody cracking the whip, get to work, you know. And he looked over the people that were in his field, and he saw one that he'd never seen there before. And it was Ruth. And, you know, she had come to the overseer in the proper way, asked permission to glean in the field. She told him who she was. She didn't hide that she was a Moabite person. She told him who she was, and, you know, she was related to Naomi, and she was there, and she and Naomi had no food, and they just wanted to glean in the field. And the overseer saw that she was working hard. Verse 7. And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and hath continued even from the morning until now. And she tarried just a little while in the house. Then said Boaz to Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not in to glean in other fields, neither go from hence, but abide here by my maidens, and let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go after them. Have I not charged the young man that they shall not touch thee? And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. And then she fell on her face and she bowed herself to the ground and said, "Why have I found grace in thine eyes that I should take knowledge, that you should take knowledge of me? I am a stranger." And you know, we see that Ruth was humble here. You know, she was just thankful and humble. She fell before him and said, "Oh, thank you so much for you know, allowing me to be in your field." And she didn't understand why he was so merciful to her. And verse 11, "And Boaz answered and said unto her, It has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and that and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and the land of your nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knowest not heretofore. And the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given unto thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." He knew that she came trusting in God. And, you know, he was willing to give unto her. And he even, in the next verses, he even said to his people, "Leave handfuls on purpose." That didn't mean just a little handful. It meant leave a good portion right in front of her so that she has lots to glean. And, you know, he knew that she had been faithful to her mother-in-law and that she wasn't just out there working for herself, but she was there because of her mother-in-law. And she was being kind and she was working hard. And when we're working hard and we're all out for God, God will reward us with handfuls on purpose, just like he did Ruth. We just need to be faithful to God, and he will be faithful to us. He's a faithful God. And, you know, she gleaned, and she didn't go and eat lunch for an hour, you know. She ate what she needed to carry on, and she went on and gleaned more. And next week we'll see how much she gleaned in that one day and how that God abundantly provided for Ruth and Naomi. So let's pray. Lord, we just thank you that you are such a faithful God. Lord, we thank you that we can learn the lessons from the life of Ruth, that we can follow after her and walk with you with all of our heart and give you everything that we have, Lord. And we know that you will be faithful to us to give us handfuls on purpose. Lord, thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you.